Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just so you know, I helped pick the songs out 3 months in advance. I had no idea, because I don't look at the orders of service and the songs every week before I prepare sermons. But I am actually going to use that song in my sermon tonight. And Brother Stoltz.
Amen.
It's right there, and I didn't just write it down, just so you know. It's on the first page, not the last page. But I thank God for that song. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. We'll read this passage responsively. Now, there's a lot of bigger words in here. I'll slow it down just a hair from what we normally do, but I want to preach quickly tonight. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. And let's read verse 7 together. Ready? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And let's pray. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, please anoint me tonight. Help me as I preach. May the truth of your word get across to your people in a special way tonight. Lord, may we rejoice at the end of the sermon as well as take inventory of our own lives so that we're able to take what comes our way this year. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we begin a new year, I want to show you how I have approached the year 2016. Many people, as I said this morning, began reading their Bible this week after the change of the new year, and you started in Genesis chapter 1, and by the way, not a bad thing to do. Now, don't tell anybody. Now, I read through my Bible 2 to 3 times at least every year, but I don't start in Genesis 1 and end up in Revelation 22, just so you know. I hop, skip, jump around. I'm everywhere. I'm reading a bunch all the time. And I just don't, every once in a while, I'll read it through from beginning to end straight through. But most of the time, I'm bouncing back and forth. And sometimes I feel like I need to get successful in my Bible reading. So I go to the end of the Old Testament, you know, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, you know, all those one chapter and two chapter and three. And I can read 5 books of the Bible in one time. It's only like reading 5 chapters, but hey, I got through 5 books of the Bible today, you know? And you say, you don't do that. Yes, I do. But I believe in reading it through from beginning to end at least once, but I don't think that's necessarily the way you have to do it, just so you know. But this year, I decided I'd do something different. Matter of fact, Brother Mike Schenenberger texted me New Year's morning, said, "Preacher, just spent time started in Genesis chapter 1. And he put on the text, in the beginning. And I was happy for him. I texted him back and I said, "Brother Mike, I started in the book of Revelation. I wanted to see the end at the beginning this year." And I said, "What a blessing." And I have read the book of Revelation already since January 1st. The entire book of Revelation and some other things. But I decided I was going to start at the end and see where we're headed this year. Man, I got through chapter 1 and I shouted. I got to chapters 2 and 3 and I knew what was coming at the end of chapter 3 before chapter 4 started, when it said, "I heard a trumpet and I heard a voice say, come up hither." And by the time I got to chapter 4, verse number 1, Brother Gus, I had a spell. That was the rapture. Then I started reading about all the things that were going to happen to the stinking devil. Whew. I got really excited. I got excited as God talks about heaven. And he talked about Babylon being destroyed and talked about the Catholic Church getting their just desserts. I mean, their just dues. And I thought about all those things. And then I got to chapter 20. And God's really ticked off at the devil and decides to cast him into hell in chapter 20 and 21. Then he talks about wiping away our tears, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, and everything old has passed away, all has become new, and we're forever going to be with him, never to be remembering sin or anything about it, and all eternity awaits us, and I just about couldn't take it. And I was reading, and as I was reading through, I thought, man, all these wonderful things are going to happen, all these crazy things that we're going to miss because we're out of here with the rapture. And God brought to mind 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's a strange verse to me. I hope 2016 is the year Jesus comes back. But I hoped 2015 was, and I hoped 2014 was, and I hoped 2013 was. But you know that if he came back in 2013, there are people in this room that would have died and gone to hell, and God kept us here so you could get saved. And I'm excited about that. Wouldn't it be great if this was the year that Jesus came back, though? Man, more I think about that, more I get ready to shout. I just have rapture practice every once in a while. Amen. Now, wait a minute. We have a lot of people who will miss his coming or die and believe the devil's lie and end up in hell, though, unless we get busy. Let's face it. The moment we're out of here, there's a lot of people that aren't going to hear the truth. So we've got to stay busy until Jesus comes. Now, the thought of heaven excites me. It really does. We're going to get to see Jesus. Folks, we sang just a little while ago, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, one who washed my sins away and saved me by his grace. Folks, when he takes me by the hand, takes me through heaven, and he says, Brother Craig, look at this over here. Brother Craig, look at this over here. Brother Craig, man, can you imagine walking down heaven streets with Jesus holding your hand? I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. I have loved ones there. I have people that I've loved. I've got grandparents there. I've got church members there. I've got folks that I've won to Christ there. I've got pastors there. I've got former pastors there. I've got preacher friends of mine that are there. I've got folks that I've known over all of my life that I've sent ahead. And can I tell you something? I can't wait to get there. I'm ready to meet back up with some of them. Now, I don't want to hurt before I get there, but I'm ready to go. Now, wait a minute. There's going to be no more sickness. I thought of Fred and Wally. There'll be no more hospice. Sally, I thought of when we met just a little over a year ago. There won't be any death. I thought of tonight when I have to drop my daughter off and put her in somebody else's car with all of her luggage, if it'll fit. With all of her luggage, if it'll fit. I'm going to have to borrow Brother Evan's dump trailer to come home in. I won't have to say goodbye anymore. I won't. You know, I thought of my mama. They left the couple days after Thanksgiving, and they're gone for 3 months. That's not easy on me. My mom and dad aren't spring chickens anymore. 2 days after they got there, she fell and broke her leg and been in a nursing home for a month. You know, those are hard things. You don't know how hard it's been on me not to just get in my car or get a plane ticket and fly to Florida and just go see my mama. But can I tell you something? In heaven, we don't have nursing homes. There's no death. There's no pain. There's no sickness. There's no more bad news. Nobody to disappoint you. Nobody gonna hurt you. We don't have to listen to ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or MSNBC, or any of the other sewer lines. Say why? Because they're going to be in hell, not heaven. In the last couple of weeks, I talked to a family in our church. They have grown family that sometimes their grandkids come with them. They came to my office and said, our son and our daughter-in-law are breaking up and getting a divorce, and these poor kids are going through hell right now, preacher. You don't know how people hurt when they come through those doors. I saw those kids recently. I saw them today. Told them I loved them. And the one little boy looked at me and said to his grandma, Grandma, I haven't heard those words in a long time from somebody other than you and Grandpa. Whew. I'll be honest with you, that broke my heart. I looked at a couple of your bus kids. They said, goodbye, preacher. I said, goodbye. I said, I love you. And they looked at me and they said, you really mean that, don't you? I said, I do. A little shaver in my wife's Sunday school class. Is it Jay? How many of you know who Jay is? He's a little blonde-headed boy that... he's 3 going on 30. Yeah, that's right. He is bad to the bone, but you can't help but love him. Little Jay was standing out here after church this morning. He had a gospel track in his hand. And he looked at me, and he looked at that gospel track, and he said, hey! I said, what you want, buddy? He said, is that you? I reached down, picked it up. I said, yep, it's me. He said, why is there a cross beside you on that and it's not beside you now? I said, it's just in the picture, buddy. It's okay. He said, all right. You know, I've been in his home. You understand what that little boy lives in. Tough. No more fussing, no more fighting, no more parents breaking children's heart, no more children breaking parents' hearts. Hey, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Amen. Can I tell you something? I'll be honest with you. I get tired of being a sinful human. I really do. I'm sinful like you are. Sin wears on me like it does you. Tired of heartache. I'm tired of attacks. I'm tired of slander. I'm tired of evil. It bothers me. I get tired of being lied about. I get tired of people misunderstanding. I get tired of people believing lies that aren't even true, and they never come and ask whether it's true or not. They just decide to believe what they want to believe. And that bothers me. I hurt for them because they're only hurting themselves. I get tired of those who appear to be spiritual, who once were spiritual, who hold themselves above everyone, who are leading other people astray. Everybody doing all right? I'm tired of failing you, not being all you need me to be. I'll be honest with you. My wife will tell you, I have given my entire life to this church. I've given everything I know how to give. I got a long way to go. But I hurt for people. Last week, Ellen met somebody that needed some help. Ellen helped her. I helped her what I could. I wasn't here yesterday in mind or body. I got the mail from yesterday this morning, opened the mailbox, and there was a thank you card in there from that lady. It blessed my heart. It really did. She needed help. Can I tell you something? This preacher needed that. I hate to show you my sinfulness, but I did. I just faced some attacks recently, and I just needed somebody to... I needed God to give me a hug, and he gave it to me. Amen? As I read about these end times, and how God's wrath will be poured out on this earth against the devil, I was happy to see God's going to do it, and I don't have to. You know, I'm glad I don't have to get vengeance on this old world. Somebody in this church has had contact with somebody that doesn't like my internal organs very much. And it's been kind of secondhand, but that person that hates me has gone through a pretty tough time. And the person in our church said, "Preacher, we know you. We know you love them no matter what they say and no matter what they've done. Here's what they're facing." And I'm talking life and death. And I've prayed. I've prayed hard. Say why? I don't think they're bad people just because they're misunderstanding. Just because maybe they don't like me, that doesn't mean they're a bad person. Can I tell you something? It's not about us. This life is not about us. It's about Him. Amen. It is about Him. It is about God and His name. And I see how wonderful and beautiful heaven will be because of Him, not because of us. But until that day comes, listen to this, we're going to live in perilous times. These perilous times are not necessarily happy times. The word perilous means dangerous, fierce. Listen to this, days of protesting and riots. Sound familiar? The word perilous literally means rioting and protesting. Wow. It's dangerous. It's evil. It's nasty. Praise God, it means we're close to the end. It means we're close to the end. Can I tell you something? Praise God for perilous times. Say, wouldn't you like to have been alive back in the Charles Haddon Spurgeon or Billy Sunday days? Nope, I'm glad I'm here right now. God put me here for a reason, right here, right now. And I'll be honest with you, I hope I get to go with the Undertaker, not the Undertaker. Amen. I mean that. I know a lot of old preachers that used to say, "I hope I live long enough to see the rapture," and they died. Well, we got a shot at it, baby. Thank God for perilous times. I'm not saying I enjoy the evil. Not saying I enjoy the filth, the danger, the violence, and the general godlessness of our world today. But I am saying as the world gets worse and worse, praise God, we're just about out of here. Now, you don't have to watch the news or read the news very long to hear about the danger of our world. I took about 2 minutes in my office before the service tonight and hit the Fox News on my iPad, and the world's in turmoil. Saudi Arabia, what do you call it? Capital punished. They killed about 40-some people yesterday with capital punishment. Shiites. Now they've got Iran all enraged, and now they're kicking all of Iran's diplomats out, and the Saudis are going to... It's going to get ugly over there, folks. Say, doesn't that worry you? Why? These are perilous times. That means Jesus' return is awful close. You see, murder, rape, violence, terrorism, war, legalized drugs, immorality, sodomites with more rights than God's people, Christianity and the Bible are now bad and offensive. Hey, praise God for perilous times. I want to take just a few minutes, and you'll laugh. I have 15 points to my sermon, and it's 20 minutes till. We will be out on time. I can promise you that. But let me tell you what these perilous times are like. Number one, people will be lovers of their own selves. That's called selfishness. If we have ever lived in a selfish society, it is today. Let me say that again. People, we live in a totally selfish society. Me first. Take care of old number one. My needs are most important. Other people shouldn't have more than me because that's not fair to me mentality. This crazy woman that was high on drugs and alcohol in Las Vegas, depressed over something, had her 3-year-old child buckled in a car seat in the back seat of her car and drove on the sidewalk, killing 13 people. Just because she was angry at somebody and she was selfish and she didn't want other people to have what she could not have. That's the kind of world we live in. Folks, let's not be selfish. Can I tell you something? It doesn't cost you a lot not to be selfish. It really doesn't. Did you know? Okay, I'm going to hit you where you hurt. I'm going to quit preaching and start meddling. Did you know if you get to the stop sign or at Stonebridge at the same time as somebody else, you won't die if they go first? Some of you get so upset and just about lose your Christianity because somebody went through that stop sign. It wasn't their turn, it was mine. Good grief. You know, let them go and wave at them when they go and use all your fingers and smile. You know, life's not that bad, I promise you. If somebody needs to go through the stop sign that fast, let them go. By the way, they're not going to hear what you say anyway. Who cares? Selfishness. Number two, covetous. The word covet means wanting what somebody else has. Wanting what somebody else has. You know, people want what they have not earned. I'm going to make a statement here. Please don't get too mad at me. But there's nobody that's going to start at McDonald's that deserves $15 an hour. Putting frozen French fries in a bag, in a basket, putting them in the hot grease, pushing a button that does all the counting for you, and it goes beep, 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 beep. You push the beeper, pull it up, let it drain, throw it into the thing beside it, throw some salt on it that's already pre-measured, and you want to make $15 an hour for that? Well, the people that own McDonald's will make way too much money. They need to let it go. I can't earn an honest living on that. You're not supposed to spend the rest of your life flipping burgers and putting French fries in machines. That's why it's called an entry-level job. Everybody doing all right? We want something for nothing. The welfare mentality has ruined America. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The socialism, communism that's being taught in our public school system is destroying America. I'll get to that in a minute here. You know, because someone has something that you don't have does not mean that you have to have it. Do you know I don't want Brother Gus's truck? His is nicer, newer than mine, but I like my old dirty truck. I like my black dirty truck instead of a white one. Say why? Because if I got deer blood in the back of mine, it's harder to see than it would be on a white truck. Plain and simple. Say, don't you want a newer truck? No, I like the truck I have. I don't want somebody else's wife. I love my wife, and one wife's enough. I don't want somebody else's children. I reared three. I'm done. Have them. I'm looking forward to grandkids. I can spoil them and send them home. Oh, wait a minute, and not too soon, by the way. I'm not ready for somebody to call me grandpa yet, but, you know, we got to have the newest phones, the newest computer, the newest cars, the bigger house. Did you know that not every person in your house has to have their own bedroom? How many of you grew up and you shared a bedroom with a sibling? Wow, and you're still alive? Your sibling's not, but you are. Covetous. Number three, boasters. Wow. Do we live in a boastful society? We live in a society that's based on positions and titles. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you don't have some fancy title, you're nothing. Ladies, Mrs. Barnes is my secretary. She's not my administrative assistant. The term administrative assistant is a fancy title for secretary. Sorry. Janitor is not a bad word. What do they call them now? What is it?
Resident stationary engineer.
This stuff's crazy. All in the name of title. We think if we get a bigger title that it means something. Folks, I didn't get into it for title. I got into it to serve God. You know, the world has to reward and award everybody. Good night. If you don't get an award at school, you cry and the school gets shut down because of cruelty to children. You know, the sports mentality has dominated where that everybody who has a 10-year-old playing sports thinks their child's going to go into professional sports. I'm going to make a statement here. I've watched every boy in here play sports. None of you are qualified for professional sports. Not a one of you. Most of you couldn't even hardly hit JV at a college level. And I know what I'm talking about. How many of you know the name Chris Spielman? Football player, used to play. He's now an announcer for the National Football League. Chris Spielman grew up in Massillon, Ohio. He's my brother's age. Chris Spielman's mom and my mom graduated from Timken High School together. I've knocked on Chris's door trying to win his family to Christ. They're Catholics. I know Chris. Now he's a lost Catholic. Those are the kinds of guys I played football with in the backyard. He played for the Detroit Tigers till he broke his neck. Those are the guys I played with. Okay? You say, what'd they do to you? We won't talk about that. That's why I don't play football. Now, wait a minute. Most call accomplishment what's expected of you. Did you know just because you put 40 hours in at work doesn't mean you've accomplished something? I told Brother Mike this morning, I don't know if I could only work a 40-hour week. That's about a half a week for me. I don't know that I could live working 40 hours a week. I really don't. My wife will tell you, since before we got married, I have worked almost double that or sometimes almost triple that. I just don't know what else to do. Everybody doing all right? Number four, proud. Proud arrogance. What a proud society we have. You know, this is the philosophy, it's my way or no way. That's pride. Hey, dads in the home, husbands in the home, be careful you don't get too proud and tell your wife what she has to do all the time. You know, she has a brain between her ears as much as you do, and sometimes it works better than yours. At least my wife does. And if you don't believe it, just ask her. You know, when we try to make somebody see life through our eyes only, that's pride. I was counseling someone this week, someone many years my senior. They asked my advice. I carefully gave it to them. I did not demand anything. I happen to believe I know what's best for them. But I didn't put it in such a way that if they didn't follow it, that they're some filthy, slimy jerk. Say why? Because I'm not that proud. You know, some of us think if it's not our way, it's no way. Boy, that's good. That's called man lifting his own intelligence above God. Believing in evolution is pride. Yes, sir. Right. I came from a monkey. You're stupid. You know, some of these people that really think they're intelligent, if they could hear themselves talk, they'd know how stupid they really are. Number five, I got to hurry, blasphemers. Now, the word blasphemy is a very interesting word. Listen to this. Those are people who lift their way above God's way about going to heaven. Blasphemy is you saying, I don't need Jesus to get to heaven. I'll get to heaven my way. That is the only way you blaspheme. It is putting yourself at the level of Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. In other words, you don't need them. That's what they accused Jesus of when he said, I am God. And they accused him of blasphemy. If Jesus were any other person, they would have been right, just so you know. But he was God. It wasn't that he was not, but they accused him of blaspheming God because he said, I am he. Hello. But he was. Blasphemy are those who reject salvation and try to get to heaven their own way. That is blasphemy. By the way, that's the only sin that is not forgivable in the Bible, because rejecting salvation to the point where you reject it when you die, after you die, it can't be forgiven. Everybody doing all right? That is the only sin that cannot be forgiven. And what is it? Rejection of salvation. That's all it is. All right? And I gotta hurry here. Number six, disobedient to parents. Boys and girls, listen. You're supposed to obey your mom and dad. As long as you live under their roof, I don't care what age you are, you're supposed to obey your mom and dad. That means teenagers too. Amen. Everybody doing all right? I'm going to make a statement here. Hopefully somebody get mad enough, check me out. Schools used to teach obedience. Now they teach students how to turn their moms and dads in who try to make them obey. Schools want to control children's lives, and they'll tell you, mom and dad don't know what's best for you. We've been trained to tell you what's best for you, and you don't have to listen to your mom and dad. You need to listen to us. That's a bunch of garbage, and it's not in the Bible. Boy, I want to preach on that, and I will someday. Now, adult children don't have to obey, but they should want to love and honor their parents. You know, I'm 48 years old. I don't have to obey my mommy. Just ask her. I don't. I don't have to obey my daddy. But I love and respect both of them. I'll honor them. I'll scare my mom every chance I get. I mean, I'm for having fun. But may I say this? If you live at home, you're obligated to obey your mom and dad. And I don't have time to go into illustrations. We need to teach our children to obey. Number seven, unthankful. We live in an unthankful society. We live in an ingrate society. A 10-year-old thinks if they don't have a cell phone, their own TV, their Wi-Fi at home, they have their own room, that mom and dad hate them. You better be glad you didn't grow up in my house, because until you graduated from high school, you didn't get a phone. I'm so old, I remember when we only had one phone in the house and it had a cord on it. You know, one of those little crinkle cords, those little whirly gigs, and it sat right in the kitchen. And you kept stretching it, hoping you could get around the corner and maybe to the closet so not everybody could hear every word the other person on the other end was saying. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And if you couldn't talk about it in front of somebody, everybody was coming into the room where you were to find out what you were talking about that you shouldn't be talking about. Boy, that's a good thing. Can I tell you something? Let's go back to common courtesy. Thank you. Please. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Parents, don't get mad at me, but if your kids look at me and say, yeah, I'm going to stop them and say, no, it's yes, sir, I'll teach them. Amen. Not because I think you're doing a bad job. I just think they deserve the right to have common courtesy and have it taught to them. My children will tell you, from the time they were little, I answered them, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, just like I expected them to do that to me. The reason your children answer you yeah and no is because that's how you answer them. Next, unholy. We live in a world that hates God. Let me say that again. We live in a world that hates God. A couple weeks ago, there was a terror threat in the L.A. public school system, and they shut the entire L.A. school system down, and there was a terrorist threat. Do you know how they found out? They discovered that it was a hoax? Because when they read the email, the word Allah was not capitalized, and they knew that a true Muslim would not have written that and had it not been capitalized. And by the way, listen to all the news reports, hearing them talk about these terrorists that are saying about they're calling Allah God, and they're not calling him Allah, they're calling him God. The news in America is now promoting Allah as God. Just so you know, people hate the Bible. People hate that book. Trying to take Ten Commandments down, trying to take nativity scenes down and all the other things in public places. Well, that offends me. Well, your lack of godliness offends me. We think inclusion of all faiths is holiness. No, it's not. El Papa is not holy. He is the vicar of hell, not the vicar of heaven. His false doctrine is sending millions to hell. Boy, I gotta hurry. The Bible talks about those without natural affection. These are the sodomites. These are the LGBT society. The weirdos. Folks, it is not natural for two males to like each other. Did you know you can put 20 bulls in a pen and they don't like each other, and they'll get along with each other? You put 20 cows in there and one bull and find out what happens. Do you know you can put 20 cows in a pen and they don't love on one another? Cattle have more sense than people. Everybody doing all right? Okay. And you don't have bulls trying to dress like cows. Folks, I have never had a desire to wear my wife's clothing. I'm stopping there. So many things I could say. But I won't. Because I'm going to be locked in a car with both of them for 2.5 hours. Number 10, truce breakers. Truce breakers. You know, we have nations that cannot keep their word. Look, I'm old enough to remember Jimmy Carter at Camp David signing the peace accord with Yasser, you're so fat, and the other guy. Y'all know Menachem Begin and Arafat and all those guys. Oh, we're going to have peace in the Middle East. There hadn't been peace in the Middle East for 4,000 years. There's not going to be now. I don't care how many treaties they sign. You know, people don't keep their promises anymore. It used to be 10 people would tell me they're going to come to church, one would come. Now it's up to about 25 or 30 to one. Say why? Because we live in a society, their word means nothing. Nothing. And I got to hurry. False accusers. Folks, listen to this statement, and I hope I get somebody mad enough to do something about this. Social media is destroying our country. Well, it was on Facebook. It has to be right. Well, I saw it on Facebook. I saw it on Twitter. So? It's an easy avenue and an easy venue. It's just like the United States press that shows you what they want you to see, give you the information they want you to have for you to formulate an opinion that's on their side, and you're not getting all the facts. Look how many of these police officers that people rioted in the streets, burnt buildings down about, and when it goes to a legal setting, they let them go scot-free. It's not because the system is jinxed. There's no evidence that they're wrong. Well, I saw. Yeah, you only saw part of it. You didn't see the whole thing. This officer in Baltimore that was put on trial recently that they just acquitted with this Freddie Gray thing. Did you know that Freddie Gray had a rap sheet about that long, and included in it were about 15 or 20 accounts of him self-mutilating himself in jail and en route all those times? Do you know who the one that reported that he was banging his own head against the paddy wagon door was? Was the guy that was in the robbery with him that was on the other side of the paddy wagon. That's why they acquitted him. Everybody doing all right? Oh, the press didn't tell us that. You're right. They only showed you what you want to know. And social media is no better. Well, I heard Brother Bush did this. Well, why don't you go ask Brother Bush if Brother Bush did that? Everybody doing all right? Just because someone says they have the truth doesn't mean they know what the truth is. And by the way, well, somebody checked into their computer files. Did you know how many times my phone has been hacked? I still have the same number I had 13 years ago. I've had to change passwords so many times. I've gotten weird things from people. People from all over the world have hacked my number, used my information, and using it as me and other things all over the world. And it happens all the time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They do it with your bank account. Okay, moving on. Let's not listen to gossip. I don't have Facebook. You're not going to follow our church on Twitter. I don't even know what Twitter is. Just hear it talked about. Incontinent means weak. We live in a weak, wimpy society. Fierce means violent. Do you know how violent our world is today? Good night. It used to be children were innocent. Did you know that the first video games? How many of you remember Pong on Atari? Oh yeah, here we go. That was the first video game. I remember the little electronic football game we had. You know, it had the little dashes, and you had the other dashes going against you, and you had to with your little thumbs. Boy, we thought we were hot snot on a silver platter. Now you ain't nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. If we had that today, people, oh, this is dumb. We got to go out and kill something. We got to kill people on our video games. We got to have street fights, and we got to murder people and all these things. Good night. You let your children play that. You're crazy. Bible says traitors. These are disloyal people. Disloyalty runs everywhere. Heady and high-minded. This is educated people who think education is God. By the way, education is not the answer to everything. Get my sermon from this morning. You'll find out what I'm talking about. And then it says lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, there were more people in ballparks today than there were in church. More people going to football games today and college football this week than will have gone to church in America. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I don't care how much these athletes say they're Christians and they may be saved, but they're not good Christians if they're playing sports on Sunday and not going to church. They need to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night church. Everybody doing all right? And Wednesday night church. Can I tell you something? We're living in perilous times. Praise God. That means Jesus is coming back a little sooner. He's coming. Can I tell you something? As the world gets worse and worse, let's praise God that it's getting worse and worse. Not because it's getting worse and worse, but because he's getting closer and closer. Amen. Praise God for perilous times. Every head bowed, every eye closed. So often we Christians get discouraged because of what's going on. Can I tell you something? Let's not get discouraged. Let's get encouraged because the end is near. The Bible says, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming back.